afternoon, everybody. This is the Reverend Blake Ruby from San Antonio. How are you doing? Hope you had a good week. I'm doing all right. The weather is really nice here in San Antonio. It's warm. And this morning, let me tell you a little bit about what I did today. I went to a speech contest, my own speech contest, because I'm a division director as a Toastmaster for many years now. I volunteered to be a division director. And what that means is that I have been and am responsible for 19 clubs, Toastmasters clubs. And throughout the year, I have to do certain things. It's actually almost like a job, but I don't get paid for it. And I have to prepare what they call a Toastmasters Leaders Institute, organize it. And that's where the officers get trained. And I have four area directors who are so-called working for me. And then we're in the speech contest season. We had an area speech contest combined on the 8th of March, which I went to. And two of my, hold on just a minute, my door just opened. Okay, I'm back. My wife, she goes out with the children, her daughter and the children, grandchildren, to a restaurant every Saturday when I have my show, so I have the house to my own and I'm not distracted. And it's a really nice restaurant, Vietnamese restaurant. And they bring me something back, so I'll have some food waiting for me after my show. And also, I'm going to go work out afterwards, do a lap around the track, so 1 mile dirt track. And I'll be doing some fast walking. That's my new exercise. I like to fast walk on this dirt track, do a mile, breathing through the nose, you know, because that supposedly brings in more oxygen. I know I got sidetracked, Harrison. Let me get back to what I was saying. I am a division director, and today I have my contest, which I've been organizing for months, 22nd of March, Division G, and it was at a church. There was about 50 people there, and wouldn't you know it, everything that could have gone wrong did. I went to pick up some coffee, 2 containers of coffee from Starbucks, and I got there at 7:30-ish, showed them my receipt. I paid for it like a few days ago. I think it was Wednesday. Oh, we don't have your order in the database. Well, the guy took down, I don't know, it was a transgender person. I can spot them a mile away. I have no problem with transgender. Don't get me wrong. I think they're great people to volunteer to come into this world as both male and female. And if you've heard some previous shows, we have transgender or hermaphrodite extraterrestrials out there in our galaxy who are actually some, one in particular, are in guardianship of our planet. Believe it or not, they're like 9 feet tall. They're extremely intelligent and have been in existence longer than we have here in the spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy. Back to what I was saying, though, about in this church, it was about 2 hours long. We had 4 contestants, 4 speeches, international speeches, and also tall tale speeches, which are shorter. International speeches are 5 to 7 minutes. Tall tales are 3 to 5 minutes. And I ran everything. I got it going. I opened us up, you know, and we had the Pledge of Allegiance and an inspirational thought. And it went very well. I got some compliments. Good job this, you know, good job that. And it was a good time. And the winners moved on to the district conference, the contest there in May. So we've got April and then May. And that is a load off my shoulders. You know, it's a big relief to have done that. Now I'm basically home free until the district conference. And I'll just be going there. And also, for those of you who aren't familiar with Toastmasters, maybe I should have said this from the beginning. I assume that you are, but it's a public speaking club or organization where you give speeches in front of each other and learn to defeat that fear of public speaking by practicing talking in front of people. And it's not easy. Like today, we had 50 people. Just imagine being up there on the stage at the church, you know, where they have all the musical instruments, and talking intelligibly, trying not to make any mistakes for 5 to 7 minutes or 3 to 5 minutes. It's not easy. And also to keep people's attention and do all the right things and have all the gestures and look comfortable and relaxed and raise your voice and lower your voice. It's called vocal variety. It's quite challenging. It really is. Let me take a drink. Well, as I was saying about the coffee, I went to pick up the coffee and they couldn't find it in their database. And that transgender person wrote down my information when I would pick it up the 22nd of March, 8 o'clock to 8:15, no, excuse me, 7:30-ish. And he said, okay, you should be good to go. I say he, I don't know if it was he or she. But as I mentioned, they're perfectly all right with me. I love transgender people. I love gay people. I understand who they are. And that they were born into this world, they volunteered to be that way for one reason or another, maybe some needed to pay back karmic debt, or just to make the world a more loving place. But anyway, I said, well, how about I pay for it? So I get a receipt, it shows that we had a transaction. Good idea, she said. I paid for it, but when I handed the receipt to the man this morning, he said, sorry, I can't find any trace of it. It'll take about 15 to 20 minutes. Is that okay? And I said, no, it's not okay. I said, I've got a meeting to get to. And he was the manager, so I waited. And he had to kind of bust his neck, so to speak, to get everything ready. And he had to move a lot faster than he was moving before. But he got everything done, helped me carry it to the car. So we get to the church. I had arranged for 3 dozen breakfast tacos to be there. And they weren't there. They were supposed to have been delivered between 8 and 8:15, and that's where I came up with the 8 to 8:15 part, but they surely didn't show up. I called. They didn't know anything about it. I couldn't remember because I placed the order on my personal computer, which was back at home, exactly what office. I called the one in that area, local area, 2 of them. They had no track of it. So the gentleman I was co-chairing the contest with, he said, well, they're 5 minutes down the road. I'll go get some. An hour and 20 minutes later, he came back with the breakfast tacos. Fortunately, we were still going through the contest, and everyone got a chance to take a break and get some food, and it was good. But as I said, you know, Murphy's Law, what could go wrong, went wrong. What can you do other than to just follow up, you know, as many times as you possibly can, double check, triple check. Okay, I got my order. Did you? Are you sure? Next time I order anything, are you sure it's in the database? I don't want to have to come here and have to wait 15, 20 minutes or not have something delivered. Please check. Make sure it's in the database. I paid good money for this. They failed. Both of those, Starbucks and Taco Cabana, failed. They get an F for the customer service. And I'm going to get my money back. Plus, I'm going to let them know that they failed, too. They're not going to get away with this without letting them know that they did a poor job of fulfilling my request. Anyway, so after the contest, my wife and I went to a restaurant. And we celebrated. Also, I'm celebrating because, not only because the contest was over and now I'm kind of home free, I don't have any more obligations as a division director, but also because of my retirement. Did I mention this last week? On March the 10th, that was when I began my administrative leave. And my retirement date is 31 December. God willing, please God, help make it happen for around 75,000 people, government civilians who opted to take that buyout offer and retire early or resign, whatever. And it's a nice buyout offer, actually. Usually in the past, when they have offered early retirement, they've also offered what they call Vera Visa, which comes usually with a $25,000 or $40,000 buyout. But for me, 9 months of getting paid It's more than that. So it's great. But for some people, they might not have been planning on retiring early. And maybe they wanted to work a couple more years, three more years. And I know when the time comes when I will be without that job and officially retired, I won't be making that good money like I made before. I was making $63 an hour. And it's not rocket science. You know, I said GS-13, step 8, I'll be step 9. That's what they make with locality pay, $63 an hour. And that's excellent pay. Of course, I deserve it, I think, because I've been working for the Army going on 44 years. And I'll have 44 years next August. So working for the Army, the United States Army, for 44 years, that's a long time, right? I served 22 years active duty, retired as a Sergeant First Class, senior NCO. I began working for the Army as a contractor, and then I became a civilian, an Army civilian in 2010, moved to San Antonio, bought a house. A year later, I got married to the woman I'd been dating in Alexandria, Virginia. And here I am living still in the same house. It's a good deal. I wish we had a better house. Anybody out there want to volunteer to buy me a house? If you like my show and my spiritual message, can you buy me a new house? That would be nice. I'm open to receiving gifts, you know, because I give a lot of gifts to people. I always give to the homeless people. I give them $20 all the time, just about people on the street. And there's a lot, you know. Today at the contest, I gave out a free Galaxy tablet, Samsung. I paid for the breakfast tacos and the coffee. We had a raffle, so I gave that tablet. And the woman that won, I know her very well, and the look on her face was worth it to see. As she came up to get it from me, and I shook her hand, the look on her face was like, that's just what I needed, a new tablet, yeah. So I'm being kind of facetious, you know, but I'm always open for any gifts that people want to give. You know, I think as the world becomes a more loving place, we'll gift each other with things. We're working towards, I believe, in order to have peace in the world away from a monetary society. Did you know, I'm going to take a drink. About 15,000 years ago, there was a civilization that existed in the Pacific Ocean called Lemuria, or Mu, M-U. Also in the Atlantic Ocean, there was Atlantis, North Atlantic. It's about the same level as Spain, but a huge continent. And then guess what happened? There was a huge reshaping of the Earth's surface. I believe it was asteroids that hit 15,000 years ago. And they were, as I mentioned, huge asteroids. And if you have one, say, that's about 40 miles wide, traveling at 20,000 miles an hour, can you imagine the impact? It stops the Earth rotating on its axis, and that's what happened. And when that happens, then there are earthquakes all over the planet that happen. And continents submerge and continents rise up from the oceans. New continents are formed. And because volcanoes are spewing their ashes into the atmosphere, they block out the sunlight and storms form with winds and with speeds in excess of 300 miles an hour, and tsunamis race across the planet, 1,000-foot tsunamis. Suffice it to say, it's very difficult to survive. Some people do. Case in point, the Lake Tiwanaku is like 10,000 feet above sea level in Peru, where the Incas used to be. And it was discovered that it was actually at sea level, so 10,000 feet above sea level. And the dog got out. Now he's barking like a maniac. This is what he does every day. I don't know how he got out. but I might have to close the window because it's distracting. Anyway, so imagine that a lake or civilization, the Incas, might have been like on sea level. And then with that reshaping of the Earth's surface, I'm going to close the window here because our dog is distracting. Hold on, please. Okay, I'm back. I don't know how he got out. I told my wife last week, please don't let him out while I'm having my radio show, because he just goes to the backyard and barks. He's got to get his 20,000 barks in a day, just like we get steps. And he just loves to bark because it exercises his voice, I guess. So he barks at anything. And, of course, there are some people that walk their dogs behind our backyard. And then he goes cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and runs back and forth. But that's what dogs do, right? Anyway, all the barking has gotten complaints from our neighbors, especially at nighttime, so we're trying to nip it in the bud. And he's better than he used to be, but we try to keep him inside. You know, we got to monitor him closely to make sure he needs to do his pee-pee or poo-poo. And then we bring him back inside and close the door, and then he doesn't like it. He barks inside, but then he calms down after a while and then goes to sleep. And anyway, I don't hear him barking right now. I really like the window open because it got fresh air in the room. It gets fresh air in the room. Back to what I was saying regarding the reshaping of your surface all those years ago. Lemuria, yeah, backtracking that continent, the Pacific Ocean. And it was a huge continent, too, about the size of Australia, before it went underneath the ocean. And the people back then didn't have a monetary system. And what they would do would, they would offer all the food and flowers, or gifts, whatever, anything you can imagine, for free. They would have a market. And if you wanted some fish or meat or vegetables or fruit or flowers or whatever, you can come and take what you wanted. But it was expected, I think, and I don't know too much about it, that you would also have to provide. It was like a community deal, so to speak, where everyone had to do their share, you know. There wasn't money, but everyone's needs were taken care of. There was no poverty. There were no homeless. They looked after each other. You know what I'm saying? That's a good idea. And everyone's needs were met. They had shelter, they had food, they had water, they had maybe the chores that still had to be done, you know, in the community, keeping the streets clean, that kind of thing. They contributed to that. I'm going to take a drink. Same thing with Atlantis. Very similar situation. Different extraterrestrials that came there from different planets throughout the universe, because if you didn't already know, the universe is teeming with life. Life is the norm, not the exception. The intelligent person has to know that the Creator, who created everything, can create anything, anywhere. And through logic alone, you would know that if all this life on Earth happened by accident, it could happen by accident anywhere in the universe, right? All this life, insects, birds, reptiles, amphibians, fish, mammals. I'm going to take another drink. If it could happen by accident, it could happen by accident on one of those planets they're discovering every day with the Kepler Space Telescope and the James Webb Space Telescope. So logically, it is proven already. We don't need ET to land in our backyard. so we can touch the spaceship and look at E.T. to know that E.T. exists. We have to have that faith through logic. We know that Jesus performed all those miracles back then because they just possibly couldn't have created that fantasy as a fantasy out of their minds. You know, all those miracles did happen. Why? They just didn't have the capacity to imagine that sort of thing back then, 2,000 years ago. Am I right? Of course, there will always be skeptics, you know, people who don't believe that America landed on the moon, that 12 American astronauts walked on the moon, that it was put out in the desert in Arizona. It was filmed in the desert in Arizona. Well, those kinds of people, the atheists, the non-believers, they'll always be with us, you know. They're a very small minority, by the way. And we just have to be patient with them and maybe thank them for strengthening our faith, you know. We need those people. Like, there's a great case of an alien abduction. I don't know if you've heard of it. A man named Travis Walton. In 1975, in the Arizona White Mountains, I think they're called, in a town called Snowflake, Arizona. He was a logger, along with some of his logger friends, were clearing the countryside of timber as part of a contract. And one day, they were coming home, it was getting dark, traveling down a dirt road in their truck. And they saw a light in the woods ahead of them. And they were wondering what it could be, if it was a forest fire, or if an airplane had crashed. As they came around the bend, here was this flying saucer, a beautiful, really beautiful. You know, these extraterrestrial spacecraft are beautifully made. You know, they're hard to imagine just how incredible they are, but it was floating above the ground, you know, because they have anti-gravity electromagnetic propulsion systems, about 20 feet off the ground or so, and just sitting there, hardly making a noise, maybe a barely perceptible hum. Travis Walton got out of the truck, much to the dismay of his fellow loggers, and started walking towards it. And he got underneath it, and I don't know if you're familiar with the anti-gravity and electromagnetic propulsion systems, but they interact with the Earth's electromagnetic grid. And so there's energy coming from up, and they're neutralizing it with their electromagnetic capabilities, kind of like you get a magnet, and you know how it repels or attracts? Same kind of principle, but there's that connection between the Earth and their spacecraft. And if you step inside that, you're going to get zapped. Seriously, big time. That's what happened. He got thrown back about 10 feet and he was burned and he almost died, but they beamed him aboard the spacecraft. Yes, they have beaming technology, these ETs, you know, just like in Star Trek. The people that created Star Trek weren't that far away from knowing some of the realities of these extraterrestrial civilizations. Beam technology is a reality, whether it's beaming people up from one location to another, or beaming, putting a beam down like a tractor beam, or beams like laser beams that could be used for either offensive or defensive weapons. They have mastered at the matter transformation beams principle. And so they brought him on board the spacecraft and they were administering to him. And he woke up on what appeared to him to be a hospital bed. And when his eyes focused, he saw these extraterrestrials about 5 feet tall with big heads and huge eyes looking at him. And he freaked out and thought his life was in danger, so he grabbed like a glass test tube and broke it and was using that to defend himself. And so they ran out the room, and then a few moments later, he saw that they went down the hall to the right, and he went to the left and he found this room where they fly the spacecraft, apparently, with a chair in the middle. And he sat down in the chair and was working some controls, and he could see some star systems up on like a screen. And then there were some other extraterrestrials who apparently were either inhabiting the same spacecraft. A shuttle turned out to be a mothership, actually, because he saw some other spacecraft that were similar in size to the one that he had seen hovering above the ground. And so these extraterrestrials were actually human-like. And they took him to another room, and there were some more of them. They were maybe 6 feet tall, with blonde hair and blue eyes, human-like. And they put him on the table, put a mask over his mouth and nose. And the next thing he remembers, he was lying on the ground outside of the town of, I forget the name, but somewhere close by from where this incident had happened. And it was 5 days later, and everyone thought that the other loggers had killed him and buried the body, and they couldn't find it. And they didn't believe the story that they were telling them, that they'd seen a UFO, a flying saucer, and he had been zapped. And police were called in, and they took lie detector tests, and guess what? They passed it. And even afterwards, throughout the years, including Travis Walton and all the others, they passed every single lie detector test. Now, I know those systems are not completely trustworthy, that they have glitches, but for the most part, they are reliable, and they have even convicted some people of murder by using a lie detector test. So it is a viable method of testing people as to whether they're lying or telling the truth for law enforcement. Does that prove anything to you? It does to me. You know, these guys weren't making that up. It really did happen. And what does that prove? It means we're not alone in the universe. Check it out on YouTube, the Travis Walton story. It's an amazing alien abduction case. He was gone for 5 days. He found himself, they put him on the ground. All he remembers is looking up, you know, because he was groggy. Because he'd almost been burned to death, you know, high voltage, almost been electrocuted to death by this electromagnetic wave, you know. And so he, last thing he remembers is seeing the spacecraft zip up into the sky and disappear at an incredible speed. And so he walked down to the closest town, and there was a phone booth, and he called his brother. And they came and picked him up, and that started something that's never ended to this day. The story of Travis Walton and what he experienced. And if that isn't proof, my friends, for those that need proof, then I don't know what is. You know, some people will never be satisfied. There was a man by the name of Philip Glass. I'm going to take a drink. And he was a debunker. He was a professional debunker of stories. Anyone, he went on Larry King Live with Travis Walton, and he was saying that, oh, he made that story up, and, you know, they all made the story up so that they can get out of the contract and make some money that way, which was totally ridiculous. Why would they want to get out of the contract? That was what they were doing to make money. And other people are like that, too. So it's a very small minority of people. But you and I, we're more intelligent than that, right? But like I said, still, we need those people. They strengthen our faith. And it's all about faith. When you don't have that evidence, really concrete evidence. I think Carl Sagan said one time, extraordinary claims need extraordinary evidence. Well, actually, if you're looking for evidence, there is tons of it out there. It's just that some people don't want to look for it. So they kind of close their minds and say, no, you know, they don't exist. But will they do the research? No, they don't. If you don't believe that ET's out there and the universe is teeming with life, do me a favor. And I think most people that will be listening to my radio show would already be believers. But watch this video. It's for free. on YouTube is called Unacknowledged. If you didn't believe before you watched that video, I guarantee you that you will be a believer after you finish watching it. Guaranteed. It is so for real. The government, not only the U.S. government, but other governments around the world are covering up the ETs. And you know what? It's kind of scary, too, because they've killed people before. We're talking about this Roswell, for example. The people that knew about Roswell and the spacecraft that was recovered there and the alien bodies that were recovered there were told to not speak about it or else they would be assassinated, and some were, because it's a very high national security risk, or was back then. I mean, you have to understand this was after World War II, and the world was in a kind of fragile way. And all of a sudden, E.T. shows up, you know, right where they were testing atomic bombs. So it's a higher grade of security, even than top secret. They call it majestic. And some were sworn to secrecy, but now a lot of people have been coming out of the closet, so to speak, and telling what they know. And the thing is that back then, even now, they'll tell you that you can't handle the truth, my friends. You can't handle the truth. You'll panic. And that might be true for a while. Like in 1932, I think, or in the early 30s, Orson Welles broadcasted The War of the Worlds on a radio show, and people actually thought that we were being invaded by Martians. True story. So there's that feeling, that sense that the public will panic and everything will go into disarray and disorder, and so they keep it from us. But I personally believe, and I think most of you do too, that if we knew for sure, without a doubt, that there is life elsewhere in the universe, that would be the next step in our evolution. We can get away from war and disease. Anybody, does that sound good to anybody? Get away from war and killing each other and disease. All that is required is for everyone to be on the same sheet of music and understand without a shadow of a doubt that we are not alone in the universe, that there is an intergalactic community out there that's waiting for us to join them. I'm going to take a drink. However, beware of those men in black, those tyrants, those bullies, those dictators out there that will kill you if you say things. They'll intimidate you. And if they can't intimidate you, they'll do it to your family, because they're a minority. They're not the majority. They're very small minority of bad guys out there that think that they're doing the right thing when they're not. We're being led like sheep to a slaughterhouse by them. The world would be so much a better place if we knew that E.T. is out there, my friends. Let's take a break. I'm ready. I can meet them right now. They can come down. If you're listening out there, Mr. and Mrs. E.T., whether you're the Verdants or from the planet Thaouba or any of the 50 or 60 different extraterrestrial species that have been in contact with Earth over the years and are still in contact, I would love to meet you. I know it has to be planned in a very special way, because this really will change things. You know, once we have made contact, there's no going back. And it could be a very delicate situation. I'm sure some have experienced it on other planets throughout the universe. When they expose themselves to everyone, you know, like the mainstream media, it's possible that people could lose control. Next thing you know, nuclear weapons would start flying, and because it could be confusing, you know. And so we don't want to destroy ourselves. And we have to pray that our Mother and Father God and the creator of the universe will help us, you know, because we really don't want to destroy ourselves, because that wouldn't be good for our eternal souls going forward into our next lives on other planets throughout the universe. You don't want to leave planet Earth knowing that you could have done something, you could have said something, you could have helped make the world a better place, but you didn't. And as a result, we had a world war and millions more people died in World War II. They say Hitler was responsible for the death of 50 million people. We don't want that again, do we, my friends? 50 million men, women, and children destroyed for no good reason. No good reason. The whole war started because of the Germans thinking that they were more superior to the other races here on Earth. If they had won the war, things would have been so much different. Although I think that we would have, the people would have rebelled, but it would have been a totally different scenario. And I don't know if we would be here today if that had happened. And the Germans were so, so very close, my friend, take it from me, to developing the atomic bomb. If they had developed it before we did, it definitely would have been a different scenario. And we just would have had to have surrendered, you know. Because, you know, back then, you could wipe out a whole city, 200,000-300,000 people with one bomb. So what do we do going forward? Remember, we are spirits in the material world. We're here to develop spiritually. We have a soul. It's the brain of the spirit. And we are travelers around the universe. I would venture to say that most of you listening to my radio show are well-traveled souls who have quite a few past lives under your belt, so to speak. And some of you, including myself, I think, have been on planets before in the past of a higher evolutionary category. And we've only come here to Earth because it's such a difficult place of learning. We're not on the top of the food chain, for one thing, and there's hundreds of other ways to die here. You can get struck by lightning, you could be killed by a tornado or a hurricane or a flash flood, a wildfire, volcanoes exploding. There's lots of different ways, not to mention all the vicious animals out there that could eat you, a lion, a bear, wolf. How about all the poisonous snakes and poisonous insects? You know, this is a very difficult place to learn. And the atmosphere is always weighing down on us, weighing heavy. You know, the barometer is rising and falling. You don't think it affects us? And we try to get enough sleep at night. We know that getting enough sleep is refreshing. And if we don't get that refreshment, then it could take away years from our life. You know, the object is to live as long as you can on planet Earth, because every day is a gift. It's a blessing. Definitely don't commit suicide. Anyone out there listening that might be so inclined to do so, people who you might know that maybe are suicidal, pass on to them. Don't throw in the towel. There are people that will help you. We all need each other. There's no one that's doing this solo, you know. We're all in this together. We're all one, you know. Pieces of the whole, and you can talk with someone and help them. Tell them that there are resources, there's hotlines, there's the Bible, there's other books that they can read. We are spirits in the material world. There's one really interesting book called Beyond the Darkness by Angie Fenimore on the subject of suicide. She tried to take her own life. I'm going to take a drink. Beyond the Darkness by Angie Fenimore. So she partially succeeded. She found herself in like a holding area, surrounded by other apparent suicides. And then suddenly they were whisked away to this dark plane at the speed of light by some invisible energy. And she landed in this huge, huge plane of darkness, surrounded by thousands of other suicides, people walking around, mumbling nonsensically, going over why they took their lives and trying to justify it. You know, you've heard of people, when they go to heaven, they wear these white robes and white gowns, and they're spotless and pure white. Well, they're walking around with these dirty, stained gowns, and they're held in like by some dark energy or dark matter in the form of like a fence, so they can't go beyond a certain boundary or barrier. Well, she was there, and she saw a light coming towards her, a little pinprick of light, and it got closer and materialized into who she said was the Father God. It was this beautiful male being of light, actually made of pure light. Can you imagine that? Very muscular, you know, with hair flowing, long hair and beard. And she realized instantly that she was in the presence of God. And she said his voice was booming. And he said to her, "Is this what you really want?" But he was angry. He sounded angry. So he went on to explain to her, you know, she tried to say, "But my life is so hard." And he replied instantly in her mind, you know, it was telepathic. "Life is supposed to be hard. You've got to take it, just like everyone else, and go through all the things. You can't throw in the towel and cut it off. It's really not your life, as you'll find out if you do that, to end." You know what I'm saying? It was a gift. You exist. You're alive right now because of the creator of the universe. Your life is a gift. It's a blessing. Don't mistreat it. Don't misuse it. It's a wonderful thing. Your mind is a beautiful thing. It's a terrible thing to waste it, you know. And so she came back and she wrote that book. And the moral of the story is, let me say it again, don't end your own life, because if you do, it's going to be harder where you're going to go than the way you had it here on Earth, and you don't want that. Also, it will ruin your soul's evolution, all the progress that you made up until that time. And I understand there are some situations where we commit some grave error or some mistake and they just can't take it. But sleep on it. Go to bed. Wake up. Tomorrow's a new day. The sun will shine and you'll have a fresh start. And always pray. Prayer works. Ask for forgiveness. Repent. Repent or perish. Everyone needs to repent daily and reconcile yourself with your loving creator, your mother and father God. They're beautiful spirits of light. And although you might be maybe sentenced to that dark plane and be surrounded by those people where there's no love, no hope, no joy, no happiness, no light, eventually your time will come where you'll do your time and then continue on with your soul's evolution. But don't go through that. It's not good to go through it. And then you'll have to start again and be born again on the planet of this similar category, which is at the bottom of the evolutionary scale. And it's usually a planet with a lot of killing and warring. Do you want to come back to a planet like that? Or do you want to graduate from that existence, my friends? That's the question I'm asking you. I'm going to take a drink. We all will die one day, hopefully far into the future. And do you want to graduate from this existence with honors? I do. I think I've done well enough to graduate, move on to a planet of a higher evolutionary category. I believe I might have come from one. It's on a scale of 1 to 9, my friends. Planet Earth is a category 1. Category 9 are planets that are veritable paradises. almost like heaven, the real heaven, that light out there in our solar system, that world of light, it's a very special fire, my friends. It's a fire where the spirit can live inside of it. For those that you don't believe that, you have to know that you have a spirit in your body that will pop out one day when you transition to the other side. Didn't you know that you have a spirit in your body? Call it the astral body. It's made of light, light energy. And light can live in light. Fire is light. The spirit can live in fire. I'm telling you this. It's the truth. So that's where we came from. We were born on a sun. Maybe not this solar system, other solar systems. For those mystic travelers, souls that have been around, that have quite a few past lives, you know what I'm talking about. Even though we can't remember our past lives because we were born into this planet, born. You remember when you were born? And we are alive. We were born into this planet many years ago, and we went through the river of oblivion, where the memories of our past lives and universal knowledge was erased from our memories, so that we could live here and experience this kind of learning environment, the school of learning in the university of the universe, and take advantage of all these opportunities, all this difficult, difficult learning. And that's how we learn quickly as a spirit in the material world. And we can take that learning and move on to a planet of a higher evolutionary category. Don't you want to do that? Or do you want to go back to another category, one planet, and have that war and killing cycle continue on, people being killed for no good reason over there in Ukraine and in the Gaza Strip, women and children slaughtered for no good reason, people just trying to live, you know, have a meal, survive daily, get enough fresh water, treated like animals, destroyed, snuffed out, crushed into non-existence, people like you and me. The more intelligent, evolved people know that revenge is in the hands of the Creator. That's the bottom line, my friends. You have to be concerned about your soul's evolution. Revenge is just going to get you going back and back and back to those planets of inferior categories of evolution. Don't you want to get away from the war cycle? Remember to repent. If you're guilty of that, maybe there's an Israeli soldier or a Hamas person listening to this radio show or a Russian soldier or a Ukrainian soldier. Repent. Stop the killing. Think about your eternal soul. Think about the Creator. The Creator created everything. The Creator doesn't want things that he created to be destroyed. You don't want to incur the wrath of the Creator. There's nothing so terrible, so awesomely horrible than the wrath of the Creator for those who disrespect his, her creation. And we are the creation of the Creator. We are alive. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, hearts that beat independently of our wills. Blood that is purified by the lungs, running through miles of veins in our body, our brains that are more complex than the most complicated computer here on Earth. And even the most sophisticated robot will be like a vulgar mechanism compared to the human body and the brain. Now and even into the future, you just can't compare with a human body. And all of the attributes of the body were fearfully and wonderfully made, for sure, just like the Bible says. I just took a drink. Not to be destroyed. Not to be the value of life. That's what it is, my friends. The value of life is increasing. It's come a long way and has a long way to go. In some countries that are poorer than the United States, you'll see that. Even by trying to cross the street, you take your life into your hands, even if there's a sidewalk. pedestrians don't have the right of way. That's a good case in point that the value of life is a lot less in some countries than in the United States. And that's just the lower evolved way of thinking. And we have to evolve. We have to develop spiritually. That's why we exist in the material world. I encourage everybody to develop yourself spiritually. Listen to my show in the future. Other shows on BBS Radio. Watch YouTube. There's tons of videos out there about near-death experiences or extraterrestrial phenomena. And they have these ETs that are out there have great information to share. Well, let me put it this way. They don't actually make those videos. People make them, like Unacknowledged or Astral Legends TV. Watch Astral Legends TV. Oh, they've got some really cool videos on the different types of extraterrestrials that are out there so you can get an understanding of what they look like so that you're not shocked to death. You know, if you do see one in the future, like a deer in the headlights stare, you know, or over the 1,000-mile stare. But, you know, I think they're pretty cool. Even the ones that are in the intergalactic community will be very accommodating if you were to face them, meet them face-to-face. And they would understand, you know, like the Bible says, people have met angels, and that's kind of similar, right? They would tell you, first of all, don't be afraid. Well, you didn't think that they existed. You didn't hear anything about the UFOs and flying saucers out there and people having encounters. You don't think that the Creator is powerful or knowledgeable enough to create other life elsewhere in the universe or other planets? Come on now, you know. It's all right, calm down. I know you've never seen an extraterrestrial before, but get used to it, you know. We need to. As human beings here on planet Earth, we need to prepare ourselves for contact because we need to make that next step in our evolution. Don't you want to be star travelers? Where's that spirit of exploration, you know? Also, didn't the idea of curing diseases appeal to you at all? Would you want to allow to stay here and maybe in a few years get cancer or heart disease or diabetes? I'm telling you. I'll tell you the truth. They will tell us what we're doing wrong, why we have these diseases. That isn't a natural thing. It's because we live here on Earth that we get these diseases because we're doing something wrong. Bottom line, you can say it's hereditary, it's the genes. No. You're doing something wrong. You need to learn how to do it right. Do whatever it is. I don't want to judge anyone. I'm just saying. So I think I'm getting short on time. Let me say a prayer. Creator of the universe is a wonderful, awesome being, kind of like an electrical power, energy, force, omnipotent, omniscient, and always out there. If you want to go out in your backyard, talk to him, her, you can. I guarantee you, he'll talk back to you. I'm going to say he because just a pronoun. But Creator, please bless us all here on planet Earth. I've seen so many good people. I see them all the time. Beautiful people. The majority of us are beautiful, loving, kind, decent, family-oriented people. It's only the small minority who are the bullies, tyrants, and dictators. Help us, please. Don't let us be roughshod over by these bad people, the minority. Help us. Help us to survive. Help us to go into the future and brighten our chances of our soul's evolution, moving on to a planet of a higher evolutionary category. Just like this is a school, we need help to graduate.
1 minute.
Help us, please. Guide us. Help us in any way we need it. We love you. We know you love us. You know how many hairs we have in our head. You know how many grains of sand are on a beach and every beach here on planet Earth. You know everything, Creator. Help us, please. We need your help. Thank you for everything. Thank you for all your help. Amen. Goodbye, everybody. Talk to you next week. God willing. Bye-bye.